Yeah, buddy, welcome in here. It's time now for some Rangers Extra Innings brought to you by Uber Eats, delivering home run deals to you all season long. Rangers were dominating the Blue Jays up until about 2 o'clock this afternoon. Gausman just settled in, had their number, no hit them through five. Just two hits here in the 4-0 defeat as Mike Peasley joins us now to talk more about your Rangers. And a good afternoon, Mike. How the heck are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. How about you guys?
Oh, we're doing great, man. What stood out to you from Rocker's second start today?
You know, it just velocity down just a tick, and just, you know, simple control of his pitches. You know, the first game against us, Seattle really had good command of the fastball. The breaking ball had a lot of movement to it. He's getting a lot of swing and misses. Didn't really have that today. Didn't have good command of the fastball, as evident by his, his four walks, and he hit a guy, nearly hit a couple of other guys as well. He wasn't able to control that fastball, to set up the good breaking pitch that he has. And he was just really fighting it out there today. But, to his credit, he only gave up two runs, probably only should have given up one if Duran makes that play over there in the third inning. So, while the line doesn't look great today, it could have been a whole lot worse as he was able to make some pitches to avoid a big inning. But, you look at Gavin, you look right now at Kamar Rocker. This is all just, building blocks for 2025 and beyond. Just give him a little taste of the big league life and the big league experience. And, hopefully, in his next outing, if he gets another outing, which I assume that he would, get one more time out there and, throw four or five innings, get to about 50 innings for the entire season, majors and minors, and leave a good taste in his mouth, and then come back and get ready to go to spring training. So it was just one of those days where, you just don't have your best stuff. You got to fight through it, and, he was able to fight through it, and he at least kept his team in the game.
When he struggles, what is it? Is it walks?
Yeah. It comes down to that because, look, he only gave up two hits today. He gave up two singles. He's still very, very difficult to hit. He's got so much movement on those breaking pitches, and a guy that can throw, upper 90s as well. He's tough to hit. When he's commanding, he's going to be dominating. The when he gets into a little bit of trouble like we saw today, he's just not locating that fastball where he wants it to locate, and the walks, kind of creep up a little bit. So, yeah, that was his biggest issue.
You definitely want to see Duran make that play, but you kind of like having to see Rocker work his way through something like that a little bit, though, huh?
Yeah, and he did a good job. He didn't allow the moment to get too big for him, and, Mike Maddux came out there one time to calm him down after, he walked the leadoff guy and then hit the next guy, and, after Mike went out there to talk to him, he struck out the next guy. So this is a young guy that's just getting his feet wet right now, and, all of this is just going to be experience for him moving forward into 2025 and beyond. He's gonna have a long career in the majors. There's no doubt about that. He is certainly got the stuff to get big league hitters out.
Yeah, he sure does. I mean, second most Ks by a Rangers rookie through the first two starts. Bradford was brilliant last night in the victory. You have Rocker, Bradford, DeGrom, who's back tomorrow. I mean, you got to be pretty optimistic about how this rotation is rounding into form for the start of next season.
It's going to be one of the strengths of this team going into next season. You had Tyler Mahle as well coming back next season too. So, and you've got John Gray. So, I mean, you are set with your starting rotation. Obviously, you can never have enough starters, and I'm sure Chris Young will look to add some depth to that as well. But you can go into next season with the likes of a Jacob DeGrom and Kamar Rocker and John Gray and Cody Bradford, and we'll see what if Jack Leiter makes the next step as well. There's a lot of talent in terms of this team's starting rotation next year. There's no doubt about that.
Hey, Pease, I just want to say thanks for going to Columbia and helping my LSU Tigers get a victory. As a sideline reporter, I really appreciate you, and thanks for all you do for me, man. Oh, appreciate you.
Great guy. I had everything to do with that for Brian Kelly. He gave me a game ball after the game, by the way.
There you go.
I heard in there it was your last game of the year with us, P, so I wanted to echo Sandler's sentiments that love having you talking sports here with us on The Fan.
Oh, love you guys, and it's always fun talking baseball with you guys, and certainly enjoy everyone at The Fan family for welcoming me in once again this season. Had a blast filling in for about these 50 or 60 games, and just love talking baseball with everybody.
Salute. There he goes, Mike Peasley. Have a great winter, and we'll catch up with you real soon.
I appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Cheers. Rangers Extra Innings brought to you by Uber Eats, delivering home run deals to you all season long as we are off and running here. It's a half show Thursday. We good? Looks like we're going to be good for a while. We rocking and rolling here, Lucius. I looked at the spots.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a G-Bag Nation podcast right here, okay, situation. We're about to run to, it's damn near going to be an hour.
A triple expressway half show Thursday.
That's awesome. On the heels of a triple bet payoff Friday at Shakerton's tomorrow.
Oh, my goodness. And Brian's still shopping, aren't you?
Well, the thing about it was I went for the Mrs. Doubtfire look.
Yeah.
But I've got a podcast with the Cowboys before I go to Shakerton's.
That's part of the shame.
I don't think that's part of the shame.
Don't you think you could get that on in the car or in the restroom of Shakerton's?
No, to do it right, you know, because you have to have the...
He's going to be jumping up and down to get those pantyhose on.
Yeah, the pantyhose, the chest area, that dress.
Yeah.
With the sweater, and then you have to wear a brooch and you know, all that with the wig. No, I'm going to do this right. I'm not going to half-ass it.
All right. All right.
So, a lot of great restrooms at the Star. So you know, I know from experience, you could just change in there, you know, in a way.
If you want me to be late at Shakerton's, we'll do it then.
It would be pretty epic if you could stroll through the Star in Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yeah.
I mean, that video right there.
They're super would go viral over there.
My shame is that I'm going to pay my bet off. You know, I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do, but... Yeah. You'll see the Mrs. Doubtfire look. Don't.
That's something to look forward to.
I would love to see Steven and Jerry see you in that Doubtfire situation walking through the Star.
Yeah.
Brian, you're all right, buddy?
Yeah, exactly.
Holy hell, Brian.
Probably start throwing $1 bills
at
you.
You're right.
Yeah. Man, you guys are tough.
Man, that'd be wonderful.
Is that a no then?
I guess you're eating a stick of butter tomorrow then? Or
Yeah, probably some.
Overnight a little nitro.
I've got a list of things I could do tomorrow, yes.
So this is just a wait and see live at Shakerton's. Like, we'll find out what he's doing.
It sounds like he's being a little defensive about it.
No, I'm not, man. I was seriously, I wanted to get this thing out of the way, this Mrs. Doubtfire thing.
Yeah.
And then I said, oh my gosh, I got to do a podcast before.
You've been itching to get into those pantyhose.
Yeah.
It'd be good for the show.
Oh, what are you doing? Like some squirting water in your face tomorrow?
No, it's just going to
I took the suggestion from the boss. Call it water if you
that
want
looks
to.
Like, that looks tough to me. I'm going to put something to irritate your eyes in my water bottle. Get ready.
Sandbagging sons of guns.
You know, one of us just knows a good idea when he sees it, I guess.
No. Yeah.
Chief, what are you doing?
I'm singing the national anthem.
That's right.
Oh, that's so hard.
I'm singing the national anthem.
So embarrassing.
It's on the payoff board.
That's what I'm saying. Because
you put it on there. It's on the damn payoff board.
A stick of butter and squirt water in my face.
You got to send the Marvin Gaye version.
Yeah.
Just to add a little difficulty to it.
Yeah, hit the high notes.
A little soul in it.
Okay. All right. I'm going to have to get in the mirror and go to town tonight.
Make sure you take video of that, though.
Do you know the words? By the way, do you know the words?
I've sung it to myself a couple times this week. I feel like
you're usually grabbing like a big bit of prime rib while that's going on. You're in line for
I show respect.
Ladies and gentlemen, please remove your hats. And then Eric, right to the prime rib station.
Yeah.
Because he's like, huh, no one else is going to be here.
These are false allegations.
Watch
to
me.
Make a run for that buffet.
Hey,
line.
You don't got the horseradish out yet for me. What's up?
Yeah, horseradish.
I'll tell you what. When they don't have that horseradish, it's not even worth getting. Absolutely.
Hey, the horseradish. We'll set it off, no doubt. Good news for the Cowboys injury report. Other than Mozzie, everything's trending up. Although you do have Trayvon Diggs and CeeDee Lamb upgraded to limited. I saw CeeDee say that the ankle was fine. It was just a little sore yesterday. Yeah. He decided to take the day off. Do we know what about Diggs here with the foot?
He was in the same boat.
Same boat. Cool.
Yeah.
A DNP still for Mozzie. I guess that back's still bothering him. At this point, that's a pretty serious back here on a Thursday.
I wouldn't expect Mozzie to be playing, just personally. Dealing with the back, you've missed 2 days of practice. If he doesn't practice tomorrow, then I think 100% he's out. But I guess tomorrow will be the final deal there. I did see Clarence Hill say, for those Marvin Overshown fans, why wasn't he in the regular defense? He said, quote, I'm in there this week. So DeMarvin Overshown will be in your base defensive
package. Can he play one tech, you think?
They might need him, too.
Think he's got anything there, Broadus, scout's eye?
What, Overshown as a one?
Yeah. I mean,
I'll tell you what, man.
Huh?
I would put
quickness.
I would consider if you can get him into passing situations. I'd consider playing Mike as a three just to go against that guard that can't move very well.
That right guard.
Yeah,
yeah, he's a problem.
Yeah, I would consider putting somebody with A lot of quickness on that cat. If you can get him to pass, that's going to be your key to and on Sunday.
We also just got an update on Eric Kendricks. He'll probably be closer to 5 o'clock for Kendricks today.
All right, back-to-back 5 o'clockers there for Kendricks. We're not going to take a break until 5:15. Krusty's Corner's coming up here in about 5-6 minutes or so. He's going to preview the Ravens defense for us. Of course, tomorrow at 2 o'clock, we'll all have our predictions. I think many of us are trending towards picking the Ravens.
Yes.
And as optimistic as we might have been following week one, maybe the narrative is going to settle in that this is a young football team that's more in a developing kind of year than a performance kind of year. And, you know, if that's the case, then, you know, maybe this is the week that Baltimore gets right. The betting line has swung to Ravens favored now by 1 point. It was as much as 1.5 yesterday. But yeah, got some good offense content coming up here for you. This might be a trigger alert. Okay, I was active on Cowboys Twitter earlier today, and this dude posted this stat on pressure numbers, clean pocket numbers, and above the line good, below the line bad type of deal. Cowboys are good when it comes to pressure allowed by NFL offenses week 1 to 2. It surprised me a little bit. But I think it also underscores the problem of not being able to run the football, even when your offensive line is perhaps performing, you know, low sample size, you know, take it or leave it when it comes to the stats. But, you know, I think pressure rates is a, you know, an inexact science, but dude, you can't mess it up by that much. And I think there's only four teams, the Jets, Saints, and Ravens, currently protecting their quarterback better. You can't make plays downfield still. How much of a red flag is that for you guys?
Huge red flag in this game. I mean, right now the weakness of Baltimore and their rookie, Nate Wiggins, is also not trending to play. He hasn't practiced because he's got a neck, like concussion-esque head injury. So, you know, their secondary is high profile when you look at the names, but they have not been performing to this point in the season. So you'd think, all right, you come in, Gardner Minshew cooked him, Devontae Adams cooked him. Week one, Xavier Worthy was able to make some big plays against him. That's your hope. You know you're going to struggle to run the football, and they've been really good defending the run, even though I know the numbers right there, when you look at sample size, it's very small. But your probably best chance at success is shootout, throw the football. You know, you need Dak and CeeDee to be able to cook. So, to me, if you're not able to do that, you're in a world of trouble. You could be looking at another blowout Saints situation here.
Yeah, the metrics say this team's giving up 14 explosive pass plays.
Oh, the Ravens?
Yeah, the Ravens have.
I mean, hey, Rashee Rice and Devontae Adams had their way with them, so yeah, I'm looking for CeeDee Lamb to party rock.
They've struggled with pressures. That's been a big thing you know, with them. They're a team that gets, again, metrics will say that they're the get-off, that's something that they measure. The way they get off the football, that's been one of the league's worst when it comes to their players getting upfield and making things happen. So yeah, I mean, and you got a cornerback in Marlon Humphrey, he's an all pro player.
Not anymore.
They've moved him to the slot. He's had some trouble in there. He's played on the outside. They're trying to get Wiggins and a bunch of these other guys. They're trying to get him time. You know, they're playing with a lot of different corners and stuff like that, but I didn't know this. They're 0-2 versus Gardner Minshew. He beat him last year, too. Hmm. You know?
He's a winner. He's going to be somebody's kryptonite.
He's a Raven killer is what he is.
And, but what about that stat? The Cowboys are getting good protection, not making plays down the field.
Your passing concepts, I mean, it felt like a lot of curl routes and come back to me stuff going down
the other day. There's no separation downfield,
There's no separation.
He's thrown more tight window balls. Again, it's metric stuff. Yeah. I mean, whether you want to believe or not.
No separation because of your players and because of your scheme. We go back to that one.
No, I agree. I'm just telling you that. When you wonder why, it's like you let teams cover you. That's the problem. And a lot of it has to do with the routes you run, the combination of the routes. We asked the guy. He's not interested in stealing anything from anybody.
Yeah. And Dak has not been his sharpest. Now he's going to have to be. He's playing at a point where he's kind of having to be borderline perfect when you consider how bad the defense was the other day. And then when you consider the tight windows. But he hasn't been sharp. Let's be real about it.
Yeah. You know, I think that's part of it. You know, Dak has to maybe take advantage some way or another of that time to throw. But I think it sets up right now as a draft where first round wide receiver, second round running back would be something I'd be excited about, because you need more. You need another talented guy to get open.
Ferguson hurt you a little that game the other day. I know Ferguson can't play defense, but not having him in the game,
Yeah.
And the game plan.
Put Brooks and Tolbert out there a lot.
It looked like to me they were in every – it looked like every series was a struggle just to get first downs.
It was. Especially against the physical team. You were you were in, I think, 10 quite a bit.
Didn't do a very good job of handling Granderson. And that was
– Steele
was very good against the Browns. He wasn't as good against the Saints.
Other stuff going on here, G-Bag Nation, a Dak quote about, you know, where they are, where they're going, says, we just got to go out there and play our best. It's week three. It's about a process. We can't get overwhelmed in what people are writing about us. He says we have to, you know, try to be the best version of ourselves on the field each and every Sunday. To me, it resonates. It sounds like a guy. Those are words that you put on a team, again, that is developing and trying to work towards something more than perform and go for a championship. If you're a championship team and the leader is speaking, he says, we're better than that. You know, I don't know what that was. That was an aberration. He's talking about building the process and the habits that would allow you to become a good team. And I think that puts the emphasis right now on, you know, it being a young team, it being the Cowboys version of a rebuild. They'll never tear the thing down. They're going to try to rebuild on the fly, be relevant for 18 weeks out of the season, and, you know, maybe make the playoffs in a rebuild year, which isn't, you know, that horrible of a strategy by itself. But I think that in the offseason, the Cowboys laid a foundation down for this team that's just riddled with holes. And New Orleans was just the beginning of us being exposed to that. Here's Brian Broaddus with a look at that Baltimore Ravens defense.
Thank you very much, Joe. I appreciate that. Yeah, this is a team that's struggling a little bit on their defensive side of the ball. They're not getting the pressures. They're not getting pressures or sacks when they blitz. That's another problem that they've had in this. When you watch them play, you know, there's some teams. They got the defensive end for the Ravens got the first sack of the first play of the game against the Raiders the other day. And then other than that, it was kind of like they were really kind of struggling to get some pressure on the Raiders. And, you know, Kansas City was the opening opponent. You know, they had some opportunities in those games and they just didn't. But the teams have done a pretty good job of attacking this Raven defense. The two games that I watched were they're not getting off the football. They're not getting the pressures. They're not doing things that normally wouldn't you see a Raven defense. But they've got a lot of size up front. If you think you're going to run the football against these guys, it's not going to happen. Travis Jones has got size. Michael Pierce, I don't think they could block Michael Pierce in the running game because of just the size that they have. These guys don't give you any ability to give any push. When you get into them, what they do is they just absorb your block and then they get rid of you and then they find ways to make tackles. Roquan Smith at linebacker, it's a lot like when you're playing Cora Moore against the Browns in week one. He's a smaller guy. He's going to run to the ball. He's going to make tackles.
But he's smart like DeMario Davis.
Yeah, he's just
instincts galore.
Instincts galore. Where teams have taken advantage of him a little bit, and the Raiders were able to do this was they got him in coverage. Kansas City did the same thing.
Yeah, Chiefs tore him up.
Kansas City put him in coverage where they split their tight ends out. They played their tight ends detached, and then they ran. They got him in some one on one stuff. But this team has struggled to, like I say, with the playing some pass defense. Marlon Humphrey usually plays the left corner. He's given up two touchdowns already this season. He gave up one last year.
Doesn't look like he can run as well anymore.
It's funny about him though. Things have happened to him where, like, especially when they put him in the slot, they throw it quick on him. If they're going to play him in the slot every time that he's in the slot, and I know it's rough to say. Well, go after an all-pro player like this, but in the slot. That's where I would attack him. On the outside, I would leave him alone because he's comfortable playing on the outside. The slot looks to me like that he's a little bit of like he's not sure. Not sure of like which way you're going to go. Where do I have to carry you? Are you going to run me over here or up the field? And so
it's a different beast in there.
It is a different beast. And he's played this a lot more than he has at any point in time of his career, but they're trying to get Nate Wiggins involved. They have a guy, a second-year player named Jalen Amar Davis, that is playing some as well. This safety bunch has had trouble covering tight ends. So
Kyle Hamilton, that's interesting. He should be like an eraser.
Okay, Hamilton's playing. He's playing linebacker. He's playing like when you watch the games of him, they've got him now playing like Kirst did for the Cowboys.
Kind of like a rover?
No, like down box in the box, like a box linebacker.
Is that because, I mean, they're trying to replace Patrick Queen. Maybe Trenton Simpson's ready for that.
They're trying to. The thing is, they're trying to get tacklers down in there. Is what they're trying to do. But you could look at Hamilton. He'll play linebacker. He'll play slot, and he'll also play safety. And they're all kind of equal, like how it's divided up. But the majority of the times where he's making plays is down in the box playing as that linebacker. I have a feeling he's going to be the guy that's going to carry Ferguson in this game. I mean, come on. Marcus Williams and Eddie Jackson have had problems with the Raiders, and the Raiders have got two quality tight ends. The Raiders gave them problems. We all know what the Chiefs got at tight end. That could be a problem. And this is a team that's struggled with that. But when you look at him also, too, they've got this length on the edge. When I was talking about Owe and then Kyle Van Noy, they're really big inside and they've got length on the edge. Their pass rusher, David Ajobu, is their, I think, who is a backup. He wears number 90.
He's finally healthy.
He's the one
draft and stash.
Yeah, he's the one guy that when you watch them get off of the football and get up the field, he's a guy that can cause some problems for you. So I think Owe, Ajobu, those are the two guys. Montabike in the middle is not getting the pressures that we saw from him last year. He's not getting off the ball as quick as he was last year. Mm. And you can see people are blocking him more as that three technique. So the challenge is going to be, like I say, if they can find any way to run the ball, I think it's going to be very, very difficult here just because of the size and the length that the Ravens have. Throwing the football, that's, I think, where you're going to be. If you protect this thing, you've got a couple of different avenues to go at it. I would say Brandon Stevens is the right corner.
It's a plain old wildcat right there.
Yeah, Brandon Stevens is a guy that he's one of those guys that has trouble at the top of the route. All of a sudden, you're running routes on him, and then you break inside. He has trouble just quickly adjusting inside to carry routes. So anything that kind of breaks in or makes him have to move could be a little bit of a problem there for him.
Yeah, I mean, I think all these corners you can, particularly with C.D. Lamb, totally take advantage of.
I would take Cooks, and I don't know if they'll use Cooks because we ask for it every year.
Yeah.
I would put Cooks on Brandon Stevens because I think that Cooks is one of your best route runners.
Yeah.
And I would wear Brandon Stevens out with Cooks in this game, just making him defend routes all day.
Yeah, it's not something that's ever come naturally for him.
No.
He played corner, safety, back to corner. He's had to bounce around quite a bit.
Yeah, the Marlon Humphrey, to me, is a guy, there's still that ability to make plays. He had an interception against the Raiders. It was a poorly thrown ball that he was able to, but he's not playing as well, but I wouldn't tempt fate there. Go the other way. Attack. If Wiggins somehow gets in the game, attack him.
He practiced today, I believe.
Yeah,
so.
Amora Davis, I would go after him. He wears number 5. Brandon Stevens, number 21. Those are the guys that I would try and take a run. And I think this could be a big game for Cooks, especially if you match him up against Stevens.
So Humphrey is playing mostly in the nickel the inside.
Yeah, when they want to get Wiggins on the field, that's what they've been doing.
Okay.
So then
Lamb, maybe you want to keep him on the boundary a little bit more because he's like almost, he's pushing 60% of his snaps in the slot right now.
Yep.
Last year he did more boundary X stuff, so maybe this is back to that.
I have a feeling if you go in that slot area, then Humphrey's probably going to walk in there with you. That would be my
I mean, you're comfortable either way.
And that's a good spot.
It's always a...
Well, I think that to me, Humphrey's looks like he's struggling more at nickel than he is struggling on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
So it could work out pretty well for you, but... This team, it's no joke. It's not because people can't run. They give up some big plays. Those explosive plays, I talk about 14 of them. I mean, they're way ahead of where they were last year. I think they, as a unit, I think they gave up 10.
And do you expect them to remedy that at some point this season? Or do you think that's who they are right now?
I hope it's not this weekend. That's my hope. I mean, to me, they got to...
When you're watching them, do you see good players
they're good players.
Making mistakes because it's early or doing things out of character?
I think they missed their coordinator myself. I think that they lost 3 coaches.
Yeah.
And two of the coaches, one of the coaches became a head coach, and the other two became coordinators. I think they're struggling right now with a first-year first-year coordinator, and they're struggling to play as a unit for him, but they're also giving up some big plays. And that's not what their game is. But if they don't correct that, then to your question,
yeah,
they're going to be a team that's probably not going to win many games, because that's their MO is they play really, really good defense and they give the ball to their quarterback and here we go. But right now they're struggling with that.
It's been a huge storyline, I think. And, you know, I don't know if coordinators have always been this big of a factor, but it seems massive right now. You know, the continuity, knowing the strengths of your players, knowing a guy works well with your players, he calls the game well for your players, all those things definitely go into it. Krusty's Corner. So you expect the Cowboys to have success on Sunday offensively?
I think there's possibilities for success. I don't think they'll be able to run the ball, but I do feel like if you protect – your front, then there's a couple of opportunities, I think, with the way that the Ravens are playing their secondary, or the way the Ravens are currently playing their secondary, that you can make some plays on them. But it we'll see how that goes. I mean, every time, like I say, you feel like, oh, hey, get Cooks involved. You know, he's got a matchup here. Oh, run him against a guy that can't really play routes all that well. Then he'll have one target in the game for, you know, that kind of thing.
And it's weird.
We'll be talking about in the post game, like, what the hell happened with Cooks?
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. So,
is there a guy in that front seven? You mentioned Owe as the edge guy. Is he moving around all over the place?
Yeah, he is. He's playing right and left side. Him and Van Noy switch sides. And then Ajobu will also switch sides too. So, yeah, if Steele's had a situation the last couple of weeks, he's given up a sack in the last, you know, two times, two games. I have a feeling they'll probably look at him. They'll probably try and attack the rookie.
Yeah, Jabo against Guyton makes me a little nervous because he's got some natural bend to him. Yeah. I remember him coming out of Michigan. He played opposite Aiden Hutchinson, and that could be an issue for Guyton if he's not. You know, that we talk about that hands and the feet.
Right.
If he starts lunging, Ajabo's going to
hands
feast
are getting
on
better
him.
Over there. If you watch that kid play, but he's got some ways to go.
Krusty's Corner is brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick free AC repair and replacement. Reliant. Yeah. So you did the Ravens offense for us yesterday. Today, the Ravens defense. Do you feel like the Cowboys are going to get, if they're going to win this game, is it going to have to be a shootout? Are they going to have to score 25, 30? What do you think?
Oh, they're going to have to score 30. I think they're going to have to score 30. They're going to have to find ways. You know, you've got to find ways to put pressure on this Ravens offense.
Yeah.
You know, to me, and I said this early, I'm stacking this box and daring you to run the football. You know, I really am. I'm like, I'm going to make them throw the football by stacking the box. I'm going to say, if I'm the Cowboys, Zay Flowers is a good player. Don't get me wrong. Bateman's a good player. You know, the running back, they've got all good players. But the one thing that, you know, that the quarterback, the biggest questions you have about him is his ability to throw. And throw consistently.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, you know, if I'm making him throw down after down after down, what happened in the championship game, in the AFC championship game last year? I think they ran the ball 16 times through it the rest of the time, and they didn't get in. They don't go anywhere.
Yeah,
you know. So to me, I would rather die that way than having them just run the ball down my throat.
Well, with the Overshown news, he said today he's going to be in base. You know, I guess they see him as the spy on Lamar.
You know what? If you're going to be the spy guy, this is a couple things you need to do. You need to play with balance, and you need to be a damn good tackler. Because if you don't do either one of those things, and you go up there and you miss, it's a huge play. Mm-hmm. Whoever that guy is, you know, if it's Parsons, whoever they decide, make sure you have balance, and then make sure you're able to tackle. Because as a spy, you have to be able to kind of mirror where that quarterback goes. This guy's difficult in the pocket. I was watching the Raiders game, and he throws the ball all the way across the field to Zay Flowers as he's drifting back and drifts back again and then goes to his right and then throws the ball all the way across the field.
So frustrating.
They lose coverage. They lose coverage because the longer – I mean, if you look at him in the league, the metrics tell you that this guy holds the ball longer than anybody in the league.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like over 3 seconds. The longer you make him hold, maybe the better shot you have. But what you don't want him to do is you don't want him to see a lane, because then that takes off. Then that's where your spy comes in. All of a sudden, you're like, you're starting to kind of drift, and then you go out of place, much like we saw with Kendricks on that screen play. Mm-hmm. You overrun it, and now it's a huge play. Can't have that if you're a spy.
But Overshown, I think, is the guy. I mean, he can
close better.
His closing speed's crazy.
He can close and he can tackle.
Been awesome.
Yep.
And he kind of flies in there sometimes.
Yep. He'll over-pursue a little bit. That's the one thing he needs to make sure he doesn't do.
You got
to
get these guys in passing situations, though. If how many times, like, we got to the third quarter last week in that game, and the Saints were like 4-for-4 on third down.
Mm-hmm.
Late in the third quarter. 4-for-4. They were converting on first down, second down,
okay,
first down, second down, the whole day.
Didn't Zimmer start going to at times to try and help with the run defense, doing like some 5-2 stuff there in the second half of that game, where he had kind of like five D linemen and two backers, like, to try and help the situation? Because I'm wondering if that's part of what he is going to be wanting to do to stop this particular rushing attack.
He's got to find a way to, like I say, you have to take it. The one guy that could be a liability is their right guard, that run or pass. That could be a liability for them. So whatever you have to do to maybe attack that area to maybe help you in run defense. I know it's one gap and one player, but if you play up the field against that guy, you might have a chance. But if you don't, if you do what you did last week and let these tight ends and this fullback beat you up, and you play slow and you play in the middle of blocks and you don't have any leverage, you'll get run over again.
Right on. Tremendous report once again from Brian Broaddus, Krusty's Corner. Most afternoons, 3:40 here in the G-Bag Nation. But the Rangers were in the process of getting two hit by Gausman and the Blue Jays pitching staff this afternoon. He retired after five with back stiffness. But Krusty's Corner is brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning. Anything else about either team before we move on?
No, I'm okay. Good. Thank you.
We are standing by for Eric Kendricks, Cowboys linebacker, the Cowboys player show here on your home of the Cowboys every Thursday at 5:20, somewhere in there. And here at the top of the hour, we would like to remind you, you're listening to KRLD-FM, Dallas-Fort Worth here, 105.3 The Fan. And thank you so much for making us part of your day. Some NFL headlines today. George Kittle out practice with hamstring issue, with the Niners dealing with another injury to a star player. I believe Ward was out as well. So the injuries beginning to mount here for San Francisco as they get set to take on the Rams. And then Bryce Young was not expecting the benching. His future in Carolina is, in his words, out of his hands. I've seen a lot of people, guys, saying they believe it's more a reflection of the chaos in Carolina. But after the head coach had worked magic with quarterbacks in two previous seasons, I don't know about that. I've been leaning more with the player. It's rare, even in a bad situation. But would you guys give a pick right now if you needed a quarterback for Bryce Young? How high would you be willing to go?
Oh, I mean, maybe a seventh. I think the contract as well. You're going to end up having to pay him probably. I'm wondering what it's going to be, but at least $10 million, something like that. Not for this particular season, but over the course of the deal, I would think you're paying him at least $10 million. But yeah, probably a seventh round pick. I mean, I don't know that I'd be willing to give up much more than that. And it'll be interesting too, because we know what Andy Dalton is. So he's about to step in there, and let's see what the offense looks like here over the course of a couple of games. And then you can have an idea of, oh, wow, this thing was bleeped no matter who got back there. Or, okay, Andy Dalton's able to at least score a couple of touchdowns a game.
Yeah, that's a good, like, control for a study, basically, is what you're doing. You're doing some science. Is that a thing that teams do, Brian? Like, hey, let's put the old veteran in there who's below average but solid, can read a defense and see if we actually have something. How much can we put on the quarterback?
We used to do it in auto racing all the time. Your best driver, sometimes you put in the car and then say, if another driver's struggling, and you go, hey, just shake the car down a little bit and tell me what's wrong with it. And sometimes they'll come back and they'll say, there's nothing wrong with this car. You know, and then right then and there it's the other driver's problem. I'll say this real quick about, and you look at what's going on in Carolina, and you mentioned the whole thing about the problems that they have and the front office and the chaos and all. Look how C.J. Stroud got helped at Houston.
Absolutely.
If you look at the players that they brought in, and I'm just looking at their roster right now, and I'm looking at Diggs. I'm looking at Dalton Schultz. I'm looking at Joe Mixon. I'm looking at guys that they brought in to try and help. Draft Tank Dell. I'm just looking. Nico Collins. I mean, he was there, but look at the players that they that Houston has brought in since they drafted C.J. Stroud. That's to me. That's the issue in Carolina. Have they done any? Carolina is famous for getting rid of their yeah. players that are at their peak and just get rid of them, trade them away.
Oh, DJ Moore,
yeah.
Brian Byrne, yeah, McCaffrey. McCaffrey.
Yeah, and then
let's fire a coach after a year.
Yeah, McCaffrey is, you know, it was hurt all the time, but here's players that to me the thing, and I know the kid at the Carolina has struggled bad and he's not big enough and a lot of things that go along with that, but they've done nothing to help him with their roster that has given him any opportunity, much like Houston. And it's like two different ways of thinking about it. Like, yeah, Stroud, talented. Let's go get guys and try and help him here. Carolina's just kind of thrown that kid in the deep end of the pool, and they said, we'll just move on from this guy and this guy and this guy and really not bring anybody in to help him. I think this one's more on the front office than it is on the kid.
Yeah, why are you bringing in a rookie quarterback into a situation anyway? You know, I think that kind of goes down to roster construction, and maybe you thought he was so can't miss that we're going to take this guy, but I think if you're bringing in a rookie quarterback, you're just burning good years. If he is a player, you're burning good opportunistic years if, you know, you don't at least get out there and get aggressive, giving him an offensive line and some weapons.
Yeah, exactly. That's the immediate time where you're trying to say, okay, we've identified this guy. We want him to be our franchise quarterback. Let's help him every way possible. They certainly haven't done that with the roster. And then they've tried with the coach. They go, in theory, get a young offensive mind as now their head coach, who is a guy who's helped a couple of quarterbacks in the past get better, Geno Smith, Baker Mayfield. But how much is he really being helped there? Because it feels like in Houston, you have the Bobby Slowick, Shanahan, Niners guy who's helping you a ton. And D'Amico Ryans is a great head coach hire to this point, you know, and he's bringing a good defense to the table. C.J. Stroud needed to score like 14 points would have won him the game the other night. He scored 19. You know, he's got a good defense as well. Yeah. So, and Bryce Young has none of that. So no. There's certainly a lot of that is involved there. The Panthers, I don't know how many guys could succeed there in any possible way.
I just, you know,
but Bryce Young's been worst in the sport for 18 games. You know what I mean?
There's no question. There's no question about that. But I think if you're going to make a commitment to a rookie quarterback or a young quarterback, you got to try and find ways to help. And Xavier Leggett could be a great player one day. You know, right now he's not. You know, they tend to. Adam Thielen at one time was a really good player. You know. Right now, he's just kind of an okay player.
Devastated roster. I think after cutdowns, they picked up eight guys, and they
were six. Yeah,
and they were playing.
Six. Yeah, they all were playing, and that just shows you though that some of the things that they haven't, they've traded away a lot of picks. They've made mistakes. They've had general managers there that have come and gone. Now they've had coaches that have come and gone. The one thing is the owner. The owner seems to be the guy that's always in the middle of all this, and you know, and that you're not going to win when that.
It's
when
David
that,
Tepper problem, 100%.
Real tough ownership situation there for a decade running. The tail end of Jerry Richardson got ugly. It's Thursday night football tonight. Jets and Patriots. New York, a 6-point favorite. We got to pick games, and we got to be right. We got bet payoffs coming tomorrow at Shakerton's in Arlington. A triple bet payoff Friday, as it is time now for the Eric Kendrick Show here on your home of the Cowboys.
He's in the building!
And a good afternoon, sir. How the heck are you?
What's up?
Hey, you tell us, how was practice? You having a good day?
Yeah, practice was really good. Just finished walkthroughs actually just like 3 minutes ago. Headed over here. Really crispy, really clean.
So how different is it getting ready for a Lamar Jackson offense?
I think everybody kind of, you know what to expect, but you don't know what to expect. You know, it's like obviously they have a ton of weapons on offense, but he's the ultimate weapon with his legs and his arm.
The running quarterback, is that like the most difficult layer of an offense, trying to stop that? Teams with the running quarterback, just that dimension feels like it's such a game changer for offenses.
Yeah, definitely. You know, you could do everything right, and you know, they can kind of slip through the cracks and move the chains. So it's just about, you know, not getting discouraged, you know, getting back to the rhythm and trying to get them off balance and uncomfortable.
Would you rather play like an MVP level pocket quarterback or a dual threat?
It depends. You know, sometimes they're the same person. You know, sometimes it's like a. It's a but at the same time, I think it just depends on the kind of game you're trying to play. I just know that this point in my career, and you know, even when I, you know, starting in my career, you know, I always want to play against the best. So, you know, this is definitely one of those quarterbacks.
How about Derrick Henry, man? 6'2", the size and speed combination for him. I imagine, like, if you look at the running backs across the league, he's probably the one you're thinking, damn, I'd rather not have to face you on a Sunday.
You know, I've faced him a couple of times. You know, it's one of those things where it's like, you know, I accept the challenge. I want the challenge. But at the same time, you know, I don't think he's 6'2". I feel like he's bigger than that because I've definitely stood next to him, you know, during a couple of interviews, and I'm like looking up at this dude like, man, this dude's like 6'4".
Hey, Eric, you were one of the guys last week that stood up after the Saints game, and you know, we always talk about, you burn the film and move on, and you were one of the guys that said, nah, you learn from this. When you sat down and watched the film, what did you learn from the Saints game?
You know, you learn how they try to attack our leverage and things like that, and things that we do wrong. Obviously, things that we can do right, but it comes down to the little things, you know. Little things become big things, and you know, if you don't get them corrected early in the game, you know, you can get pounded on them.
What were some of the things that you noticed that they did really well that caused you problems?
They did a really good job of, you know, obviously motion, you know, changing up the looks, starting with one formation and ending with another formation, but the formation was, they kind of hit it through how they started it. But at the end of the day, you know, it was up to us. You know, we should have recognized that, how they were trying to attack us and realize what they were kind of building. So, you know, going forward, it was definitely a good learning lesson.
It's the Eric Hendricks Show brought to you by Keurig and Dr. Pepper. At this point in your career, do you like being the veteran guy who can have some of the answers for the younger guys on weeks like this?
Yeah, you know, but sometimes I don't have the answers. You know, sometimes those guys got to give me the answers. You know, sometimes I got to get inspiration from those young guys. You know, you know, I like to think that I have all the answers. I like to think I know all the, you know, all the trades, all the tricks, you know, the, you know, every single look, you know, and I do have a lot of advice and I do have a lot of knowledge to share, but at the same time, like, you know, I get inspired by, you know, just seeing these young guys play and their passion for the game. You know, it gets me excited to keep playing.
Are you more comfortable meeting Derrick Henry in the hole or being open field opportunity with Lamar?
Honestly, you know, probably, in the hole. I feel like, you know, space is, you know, always the hardest thing in football. And, you know, obviously corners have the most space on them at all times. So ultimate respect to corners for sure.
Man, did you see the Chargers got a 300-pound fullback?
Oh, yeah. That's my boy Scott. Yeah. You know, Scott Madlock, you know, I was with him last year on the Chargers. Really good dude. Really just an ultimate team guy. So it doesn't surprise me, you know, him moving both sides of the ball.
That's crazy. He's playing a bunch of different positions, but the idea of a 300-pound fullback seems pretty insane. If you had, like, when you think over the course of your career, who is in terms of, like, toughest back to bring down? We think of beast mode. We think of Derrick Henry. Is there somebody that would surprise us?
I think someone who surprises you is I always say Chris Carson, but at the same time, I think that I got to give the flowers to Aaron Jones. I feel like Aaron Jones is kind of like a – I want to say undersized because, you know, he got some weight to him, but at the same time, like, I feel like he's kind of deceptive with his strength, and he runs between the tackles. You know, I feel like we know he can get to the edge, he's good in the pass game, we know this and that, but those dirty yards, he's not scared to get them, and I've had some battles with him for sure.
How many battles did you have with Prime Zeke?
Oh yeah, for sure. Oh my gosh, you know, me and Zeke always played against each other, and you know, whether he was in blocking the pass protection or I'm tackling him in a run, so many for sure.
It's Patriots Jets tonight, Thursday night football. Do you like watching the game when you're away from it?
Yes and no. You know, if it's a team that I have, you know, a bunch of friends on and stuff like that, definitely got to check in on them. But most of the time I just like to do my own studies and get ready for my own games and, you know, put my time in that kind of film and then kind of separate from it. You know, I know that, you can learn a lot from, you know, watching the TV copies of stuff too.
Yeah, you just tell us, Eric, you're watching Top Chef, working on those knife skills. You know, you're trying to figure out how to get on Chopped and then, you know, and cook with that the octopus that they're going to put in that bag for you, right?
Yeah, you can't wait too long to make the ice cream. You know what
oh,
I mean?
Oh, there you go. No, you know it. Yes. You can't. Hey, when you go to the ice cream maker, you're probably going to lose. That is a losing maneuver right there.
You can't figure out how to use it.
Yeah.
That's happened a few times.
Or they forget to turn it on.
Yeah. Oh,
or,
that's a big one.
Oh, we forgot to turn it on. Oh, my.
My meat's undercooked. Dang.
That's a killer.
Did you guys make anything delicious this week?
Oh yeah, last night I didn't make anything, so I can't claim anything.
You're just being nice, man.
I'm just being nice. Last night we had a little coconut rice, some broccoli, ooh, and some skirt steak. So, it was incredible. Hey, right. I had a little leftover today. I put it in a to-go box. Just had it for lunch.
So, are you typically a pretty healthy eater, or is there I'm here for a cheat day? What would a cheat day look like?
A cheat day for me, man, I think just pizza is just an all-timer. I mean, pizza is just hard to miss. A burrito or something.
Wow.
Okay, well, what are you putting on the pizza?
Pizza, pepperoni and black olives. And you got to have ranch, period. You got to have ranch.
Yep. There you go.
Pepperoni, black. Oh, how do you feel about pineapple on pizza?
You know, see, that's where you lost me. You know, I can't do the warm fruit on my pizza. I don't like that.
Yeah, what's up with you California folks doing that kind of stuff out there? Yeah, when they do that, you just kind of, you're not from here, right?
Nope.
Not at
all. You know what Californians do really well, though, is that tri-tip.
Oh, yeah. That's a big Fresno thing for sure. We got this place called Doghouse Grill. Wow, get the tri-tip going. Bland knows about it. You know, he went to school there. So
yeah, he's a dog.
You get the big tri-tip sandwich with the barbecue sauce and the ranch dressing on the side. Big basket of fries. Shout out to Fresno.
Are you typically you bring your lunch to work every day, or was that just a special leftover night?
No, I do it for the most part. You know, I try to keep my my diet pretty clean during the season. Stick to the foods that I know are going to keep me healthy. Less inflammatory response, I obviously enjoy myself every once in a while, and I'm not psychotic with it, but definitely has changed as I've been in the league.
See, okay, now this is my last food question for you for the day, but
he lies.
Were you a guy that would trade your lunch when you were at school? Would you like bring something really good to lunch and you'd always trade, or would you always try and upgrade your lunch when you were in school?
See, I was a free lunch guy, so I had the school free lunch, and then I always try to mooch off of my friends who had the extravagant packed lunches, you know, and try to just scavenge off of maybe a little Skittles here or there, some dots, some Lunchables, but I feel like the Lunchable, when you got the Lunchable at school, it was like no one can mess with you. You got the big box Lunchable. Your day is going to be good. Everything's all right.
Eric, how long into your career before it clicked for you in terms of the professional, like the way you eat and taking care of your body and all that kind of stuff? How many years in before you're like, oh, I gotta change some things here?
So I feel like I always took really good care of it early on. I feel like I developed good habits in college, thankfully. I feel like we had a really good program at UCLA that taught us the body maintenance aspect of it. So when I got to the league, I took that portion of it seriously. I feel like I was always someone who was underweight and always having to fight to keep my weight. So it was like, at first it was like anything I can eat, anything that, my stomach can handle, I was eating to keep my weight up. And then as I got to like year six, I had to start like eating cleaner, as far as like, I realized that, you can't just eat anything. And yeah, you need to eat a lot, but it's about the fuel you put in. And, I've been doing a lot better since.
Did you find something that, like, your stomach definitely did not handle well? Because our guy Brian Broaddus cannot do orange juice or soy sauce.
Yeah, I'm bad at orange juice.
Learned that the hard way.
Yeah.
You run it to the toilet.
Golf course, Riviera Country Club, out there in about the seventh hole.
Couldn't make it to the toilet.
It couldn't make it, and had the golf towel, luckily, there for that that time.
So. That makes sense. I feel like, for me, nothing really gets me crazy like that, but I do... One of the common foods that I do not eat, never eat it, is peanut butter.
Oh,
can't do it.
Okay.
It's my least favorite of all time.
Wow. Okay. See, I've heard it could be a gut irritant for some folks.
It's a strong. It's just a very strong flavor. Like, any you put peanut butter in anything, it's overtaking whatever dish it's in.
I that's fair. That's 100% fair.
Reese's, you put it in
a smoothie, or you put like a banana in a smoothie. It becomes a banana smoothie now. So I totally get that. I do. I am curious. How many years into the league before you realize? Yeah, you know what? I might need some of that Toradol stuff.
That was day one, baby.
I mean, it's up to the person. It's up to the individual person or how you're feeling. But I feel like that's what it comes down to, taking care of your body and things like that. I feel like, especially with anti-inflammatories, I feel like I had a really bad injury in college, and I found myself taking anti-inflammatories more on a daily basis to just get by in college. But here I am, 10 years in, and knock on wood, I'm not taking any for practice or anything like that. So that's a great step, and sometimes you have to use them, and players use them all the time, but at the same time, like, to limit that is probably the best.
Yeah, sorry, Eric's so nosy about stuff like that.
Hey, I'm sorry. I just was curious.
It's all good. I mean, that's what you got to take care of your body, man. Period. It's it's obviously a brutal game. People are hitting each other and falling on the ground, so you got to take care of yourself.
But that's awesome at this stage in your career. I don't know if there's that many players that have been in that long that can say that, Eric.
Mm-hmm. Right, take pride in it.
So congrats on that, and here's to you guys putting a hurting on the Ravens on Sunday. Thank you so much for joining us, sir, and have a great weekend.
Let's go.
Cheers. Thank Eric Hendricks Show brought to you by Keurig and Dr. Pepper here on your home of the Cowboys.
I'm 10 years old, but I'll beat your ass.
Sorry about that.
He's going to get annoyed by all the references to this stage in your career. He's been in there at a high level for a long time. Guys can do it.
Yeah.
Some guys are just like, hanging in there well into their 30s, and it looks like Eric's well is on his way to doing that.
You think that was an indelicate question there about the old Toradol?
No, he was going to answer it. You knew he was.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything great. We can ask him that he won't answer.
No. He's wonderful.
He's very open.
Yeah.
It's brought to you by Keurig and Dr. Pepper, and that's our first break. That is a massive expressway for the ages, maybe an all-timer. That's soccer format. We went 45 minutes plus. Yeah.
Hey, shout out to
injury time, huh?
No.
Let's go.
We took a page out of the PJ Carlissimo book.
Let's keep it going, boys. Stamina. What do you say?
The expressway in addition to the finest?
Yeah. Okay. Let's do it, man. We have some rabid football fans that need to be checked, and I kind of like what this guy is doing here from a media standpoint.
What the hell did I do?
Check this guy out next year in the Nation.